And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday, February, whichever way you want it, 21st, 2020. 13 minutes past the hour, 2/21/2020. How about that? Now, today, it is a Getaway Friday, and it really may be a real Getaway Friday. Now, here's what I mean by this. Let me tell you a little something here that's kind of interesting about me. Now, I like to travel as much as the next person. I like to take trips. I like to see places I've never been. You know, I'm a curious person. I like to do things of that nature. Now, about a month ago now, maybe a little more than a month, I started planning out a trip with somebody else to go to a place that I had never really been before. And it sounds like a really fun place. Now, when you go do something like that, of course you want to have some radio broadcast back here, because I like to include you, because I think you're like my family here on the radio, family and friends. And I like to include you in these trips in some form or fashion. As in the past, when I went to New York, we did broadcasts from there, and when we went to Pittsburgh, we did broadcasts from there, and we did broadcasts from all over Ohio, Toledo, Akron, Cleveland, with the Republican Convention in 2016 and the World Series, and I think we've done some from some other places as well, and I like to take you with me for these particular broadcasts. So, as we're setting up this trip that was supposed to happen, it was, again, a place that I have never been, and I have never broadcast from. Started to reach out to some people about maybe doing some interviews, started to reach out to some people about maybe going some places and doing some fun things. And for the longest time, it was kind of up in the air, because I wasn't really hearing back. Well, people were giving me maybes, and maybe I can do this, and maybe I can do that, and it was just a little different than it had been in the past. So, it gets to be this week, because the trip was supposed to be this weekend, just a weekend trip, nothing more than that. I'm not much of a traveler beyond that, I can go for a long period of time. But a weekend is pretty good. And this is not a hugely far away place at all, hour-wise. So, this week it really starts to become more of a reality, because all of a sudden now people are responding, especially places in this particular area are really responding as far as, yes, we would like you to come here, yes, we would like you to do this, yes, we would like this to happen, so on and so forth. So, the week goes on, and I don't want to say it was up in the air, because it was almost confirmed, pretty well confirmed at that point, and I thought, oh, okay, this is going to be good, this is going to be fun, this seems possible, this seems doable, and now here we are on, like, the precipice of leaving to go on this trip, and do broadcasts from this particular area. Now, there's a particular reason I'm not telling you the particular area at this point. Now, here's why. Because every time I've went on a trip, every single time, whether it's been the three times we've been to New York, the trips to Toledo, the trips to Pittsburgh. Do you remember the trip to Pittsburgh, by the way? because I just want to, this is a good story for people maybe to explain why I'm feeling the way I do. I always get a little anxiety before these trips. Here's why. If you remember, I think it was back in 2018, 2019, something like that. Might have been 2018. Back in 2018, we went to Pittsburgh to WQED to do a live broadcast of the unveiling of the Mr. Rogers stamp, and we were going to do live broadcasts from WQED. And, you know, people who've worked with electronic equipment knows that a lot has to go right for a live broadcast from hundreds of miles away to go right. And sometimes you do have glitches, unfortunately. And that particular trip, we ran into a glitch. Now, if you remember what the glitch was, we were in an area in Pittsburgh. We were well connected. We had the microphones where they needed to be. Although when you're on a trip like that, microphones are a little more difficult because usually you're in an open room opposed to a radio studio. So you do sound different, and it's a little harder to hear you. But if you speak directly into the microphone, usually there's no problem, as long as nobody's talking overly low. So, we get to Pittsburgh to do this broadcast of the unveiling of the Mr. Rogers stamp, and I get connected back here to the studio. That's a big thing, too, because you've got to be able to connect to the studio, so things got to be working here okay. So, you connect to the studio, and which I did on that Friday morning. That was a Friday, too, by the way, the Pittsburgh thing. I connected to the studio, and all of a sudden, we got feedback. And you don't want feedback, because nobody wants to listen to feedback over the air. So I'm trying to figure out why we're getting feedback. And I actually did locate the reason that we were getting feedback, because the equipment we were using to send the signal was on a little bit of a delay for some reason, more of a delay than what we needed it to be. Okay, so we get all the kinks worked out broadcast-wise, and we had somebody in the studio at that time. I'm not going to name the person because it's in the past. But we had somebody here in the studio who was going to bring us up on the air. Live from Pittsburgh. Okay. At noon. We were going to go live at noon because that's when the ceremony started. So, here we are at WQED, the first public television station in America, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I get the microphone out, and you had to be very quiet in the studio because we were in the Mr. Rogers studio. It was jam-packed. It was by invitation only, and you just couldn't talk because they were giving a very somber speech, unveiling the Mr. Rogers stamp. The Postmaster General was there. Cast members of the Mr. Rogers show were there. Family members. Mr. Rogers' wife was there. It was the whole thing. So I could not get on the telephone and call back to the studio, but I had already told them we're coming up at noon, and I had even done a text message to that degree. But I could not turn on like a mobile device to see how it was sounding because the room had to be very quiet. Okay, so I'm holding the microphone. I'm seeing that my levels are good. I'm seeing the speech is coming across great. And bam, the speech is over, and then I go out in front of we were in a media area. We were kind of behind a big stage in the middle of the floor in the back of the room. So I go around to the front of the stage, and I take the microphone with me, and I get interviews with David Newell, who was Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers. I actually interview the Postmaster General of the United States. She stopped by for a second. I interviewed, who else did we have an interview? Joe Negri, who did all the music for Mr. Rogers. I interviewed somebody who had worked at the Mr. Rogers studio forever. I interviewed the president of WQED television. And I did all that. And I think I'm really hot now. You know, man, I'm from Pittsburgh. My levels are working okay. I'm sending this back here to the folks in Marion. You're getting like 2 hours of the greatest broadcast in the world, and this is really my Emmy moment. I have no notes. I don't usually have notes, but I have no notes. I'm interviewing these people off the cuff. No other media outlet from Ohio is even there to cover this. And the man from WQED, once we're done with the broadcast, 2 hours later, the president of WQED, he hands me his card, and he says, anytime you come to Pittsburgh, you make this your home base, because he was impressed with how well I handled the interview, I think. So, man, I'm feeling like $1 million. I'm like, wow, this was great. Okay, here's the postscript to this whole thing. You remember back when I said we had to be quiet before the ceremony started with the unveiling of the Mr. Rogers stamp? Now, this ceremony started before we ever started to do an interview. It was the first thing that happened, then we went right into the interviews. 2-hour broadcast from Pittsburgh, WQED, the home, the birthplace of public television, and live from the Mr. Rogers studio. Okay, well, back here in Marion, they never turn the volume up. So, nobody ever heard any of it. Nothing. Nobody ever heard the ceremony. Nobody ever heard any of my interviews. Nobody heard anything, because they never turn back up the volume to bring us in from Pittsburgh, because there's a volume control on the soundboard that you have to turn in or turn up once you're connected to somebody in another a city. So, nobody ever heard it. Now, here is the plus in this situation. I am a plan B type of person. I always tell people to have a plan B. If you meet anybody who knows me, they will say that Scott always says that even though things look great, even though things sound great, even though things are great, you got to have a plan B. Well, that day I did have a plan B, oddly enough. I had recorded everything that we did. So, when I got back to Marion the next day, I took the tape of what we did and played that on the air a couple days later. So, I did not lose the interviews, I did not lose the ceremony, but as far as anybody hearing them live as they were supposed to hear them, no, that did not happen. Now, this is the story of broadcasting from other cities. Now, conversely, just to show you it's not always a disaster, when we broadcast from the Republican Convention, for whatever reason, that could not have worked better. And if you go back on our website and look at those broadcasts we did from the Republican Convention, it was loud. We were in a corridor right outside the governor's gathering, all the governors of the United States, their little gathering room. We had only 2 microphones, so it was kind of scarce doing the broadcast. But yet, it worked okay. Those broadcasts came off great. Everybody could hear what we were doing. We got on the air back here in Marion. People were listening. We got connected. Everything was great. So, this is why you get anxiety doing one of these things. Because I could tell you that we are going to have the greatest show from the city that we're going to be in. But I know I've done enough of these to know that disaster can happen. Now, luckily, the station would not go off the air. We would probably just go back into a repeat. But it can happen. So, on days like this, I do have a little bit of anxiety. So at this moment, I'm a little apprehensive. And I'm not even saying where I'm going to be. And I'm not giving you the times yet. I'll do that next hour. But I'm just forewarning everybody that there could be a glitch. It does happen. It's happened before. So tune in when I tell you to tune in, and we will just hope to all of the good spirits in the world that we come off without a glitch. But I am going to have a plan B. I'm going to make sure that we have a recorder going, so we'll record whatever we do in this city. So even if it doesn't come across live, we'll have it. But that is what happens on a remote trip. And to this day, I still have bad feelings about the Pittsburgh thing. We never got on the air. Can you believe? Never got on the air with that entire broadcast. And you know, you should not really kick yourself for this, because honestly, it is very complicated, because everything has got to work in the studio in Marion, Ohio, and everything has got to work with the makeshift studio that you have wherever you are. Now, sometimes all the pieces come together, and sometimes all the pieces don't. So I think with this particular trip, I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to say to myself, whatever happens, happens. Now, I do want you to tune in, because there is a good chance we'll get on the air, because I have really done extra work this time to make sure that we will get on the air. Now, the sound quality, you never know, because it's really dependent on how loud the room is, how quiet the room is, how loud the people are talking. Those are things you really can't control. I'll promise you, I'll talk loud enough so you can hear what I'm saying, and I will tell the other people to talk loud, so hopefully you can hear what they're saying, but no promises. But I'll give you the times of the broadcast, and I'll give you the place I'm going to be next hour. I will do that during the 9 o'clock hour. So that's my apprehension this morning. If I sound anxiety-ridden, if I sound a little anxious, that's what it's all about. Plus, when you drive somewhere, you know, you always worry about the silliest things. Like this morning, I was laying in bed and I thought, oh man, what if there's car trouble? It's never happened on any trip I've ever been on. I don't think I've ever had car trouble, and I've went much further distances than this. But, you know, it can happen. And then I was thinking, oh no, what if there's a problem? This is how bad it got. This morning, at like 5:30, I was in my bedroom, you know, packing things. And, oh, that's another thing. That's another thing that will make you anxious. Because you're thinking, did I pack everything? Is there something I left that I'm going to need? Am I going to get down there and realize I've forgotten a cord that I cannot buy anywhere? You know? Oh, man. It's just one of those things. Well, you know what? I'm getting a Facebook message, and I'm really going to cue you in on these Facebook messages today, because how do I say this? I'm really going to cue you in on the Facebook messages because of the... I'm not going alone, obviously. I cannot go... I don't think they'd let me out of the... And I'm going out of the state. Well, I'm not going to tell you that. They don't let me out of the city alone. But I just got a message from the person I'm going with that said, if we have car trouble, I just bought a car yesterday. Oh, see, well, now that alleviates my anxiety a little bit, because is this person offering to drive? Is that what they're saying? They're going to drive this trip? That we're going to take their car, their brand new car? And is that what's being offered here? I don't know. Well, this person is hearing this just as it goes over the air, because I had not heard that offer before. But I do have to say, the new car was just bought yesterday. It would be nice to travel in a new car. Oh, see? No, they're not offering. So if there's car trouble, it's still on me. So there you go. So back to my original point is you have only if mine didn't work. Well, no, I'm not. It works. My car works. I just got a new car first of the year. But, you know, you always worry about car trouble. That's just one of those things you worry about on a trip because you don't want to be off on the side of the road somewhere wondering what the heck to do. I can change a tire. I have no problem changing a tire. That's not a big issue. I can get through that. But as far as anything else, you know, I'm not going to be able to fix the radiator. You know, although I don't know why that would blow up. It's just, you know, it's just weird paranoia you get before you go on a trip. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why you get that weird paranoia. So you get the paranoia of car trouble. And then you get the paranoia of getting lost, although that's not as bad. With GPSs and where this place is, it would be awful hard to get lost. That fear has kind of subsided over the years about getting lost. And then, of course, you worry about the people you're with. You always worry about the people you're with because you think, are they going to be a good time or are they going to be difficult? You know, they're a good time here, but boy, you're spending, you know, a couple days with them nonstop, and are they going to be weird, and are they going to be difficult to deal with? You know, you worry about that, and because once you're with them in this place, you're stuck. You cannot get away from them. They are with you for ever. So that's another thing. You know, you have to worry about the people you're traveling with. See, last time I took a trip with somebody, the person I traveled with was not bad. That turned out okay. But the trip before that, a person I thought would be perfectly normal, perfectly fine, perfectly okay, once we got there, turned out to be nuts. Because you know what happens? You don't live with other people. So you're not with them at night, when whatever they, what rituals they go through, and you're not with them in the morning with what rituals they go through, and you're not on their sleep schedule and all that sort of thing. So when you're on a trip with somebody, you really get a full panoramic aspect of the type of person they are, what they're weird about, what they're not weird about, what it's a thing. And experiencing this with people firsthand, you know that can be awful because, as I say, once you're there, there's no getting out of it. You're stuck with them for the two-day period. So there's that anxiety. And then again, there's always the anxiety about the equipment working, that you've forgotten something or something's not connecting properly. So there you go. Now, that's my story for this morning. And again, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going, but here's what I'm going to do. Now that I've told you about all my trip anxieties, about what might go into this trip, you know, I who knows? I might just not show up today. I might just, you know, go hide out somewhere. You never know. No, I don't think that would happen. I've always went on the trips that I said I was going to go on and done them. But, you know, sometimes you get back from a trip. Here's the two end results. Sometimes you go on a trip and you get back and you say, wow, that is something I'll always remember. That was unique. And then sometimes you get back and you say, oh my goodness, I will never travel again. I will never go on a trip again. I don't want to see that person ever for the rest of my life. This was misery. So those are there is no middle ground. Do you ever notice that on a trip? That there is no middle ground. There's no like, it was okay. That doesn't happen. It's either it was the greatest thing in the world, or it was the most awful thing in the world. Now, does anybody have any stories? You've heard my stories, and you've heard my thing. Does anybody have any advice or thought they would like to give on this? Do you have a travel story like this? Or would you like to give me advice on all on my hang-ups about doing a trip? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have any trip advice? And or do you have an experience like this of your own? Do you have worries like this when you're going on a trip? Or is it just me? Am I just anxiety-ridden? for no apparent reason. I'll leave it up to you. 740-383-9944. And we have the Charlie Evers Show coming up today, 10 a.m. until 12 noon. That will be something you don't want to miss. And again, next hour, I will tell you where this is going to happen. And I will tell you the times that this is going to happen. And probably I'll put it up on Facebook. Once I actually get to the place, I'll put it up on Facebook, because then I'll feel a little more comfortable that it's actually going to happen once I get there. You know, once you get there, then you feel a little better about everything. You say, oh, okay, I made it. Now this broadcast is probably going to happen. But pretty much everything's locked in at this particular point, 36 minutes past the hour. Nobody has any travel nightmares. Is it just me? Am I the only one with these travel nightmares? Or does anybody else have advice on how to get rid of travel nightmares? And again, the packing thing. I don't know if I've went into this, but so I'm packing this morning because there's always those last minute things that you need to pack that you can't pack until the morning of the trip. So this morning I'm packing everything and I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to forget this. I don't want to forget that. I can't afford to forget this. I can't afford to forget that. I've even got a little list here at the radio station of things I have to do before I leave. I've got to make a phone call. I've got to make an instant message to somebody. I've got to set something up here on the soundboard so everything comes off okay. I've got to test a computer before I leave. I'm telling you, it's a thing. It's a real thing, these type of trips. But then in the end, I guess what you can just say is if it goes badly and things don't happen the way they're supposed to, that's the way it was supposed to be, and just... too bad, so sad, and life goes on. And again, if you get to the point where you can't stand the person you're traveling with, you can always leave them there. You know, that way your ride back will be peaceful. You know, that is a weird thing, because I have went on trips with people where I had super fun, just super fun. They were totally fun. They were totally at ease. And they were on a little vacation, and they just felt fun. And then you go with people who I don't know what they become when they travel. They turn into lunatics. I think they lose their mind at some point. I don't know. It really, that's weird. That is a weird combination of people to travel with. Some people, I guess, maybe are just better travelers. Some people travel well, and some people... don't travel so well. Oh, this person's letting me know I can leave them there. Well, see, there you go. That takes the worry out of it. So maybe my trip back can be a little less worrisome. I can just leave them. You know, this morning I was listening to Charlie as I was coming in. One of Charlie's replays was playing. I think it was from yesterday. And he was talking about the old Cincinnati Reds baseball games and how they didn't used to send the broadcasters to the games, and that what would happen is the broadcaster would sit in the radio studio and they would just send them the score back. And so you'd hear click, 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 click off of the computer back then. Oh, I guess not a teletype machine back in those days. And you'd hear the click, 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 click of the teletype machine, and it would be printing out the plays and the scores and all that. And then they would just rip it and read it like they were at the game. But they would add a little color to it. You know, like if the if it came up on the teletype, let's say Ramirez scores a home run. That's all it would say. So if you were the announcer... getting that, all you have is Ramirez scores a home run. Well, you got to fill some time because you're on the end or on the other end. So as the broadcaster, you would say, it's a beautiful sunny day here in beautiful Cincinnati. Both teams are on the field. It's going to be a very hotly contested game today. Ramirez is coming out of the dugout. He's very slow today, very methodical in his approach to the game. He comes up to the plate. He bounces the baseball bat off both feet. shakes the dirt loose. He brings the bat up. He is a left-hander. He's now standing to the right of home plate. The catcher is in position. He's waiting for the first pitch. And here comes the pitch. First pitch, ball one. All right, Ramirez is pensive here today. The crowd is amazing here in beautiful downtown Cincinnati. The crowd is excited, yet a hush has fallen over the crowd as the second pitch is being ready to be thrown. Second pitch, ball two. All right, this broadcaster can tell you at this point there's tension. Ramirez needs to get a run for the Cincinnati Reds. And the pitch. Ramirez gets a piece of that one. It's going. It's going. It's right field. It's going. It might be. It could be. It is. Home run. Jose Ramirez. What a shot. The Reds go up 1-0 in inning number one of this finely tuned baseball game. Scott Spears live from Cincinnati, Baseball City, where Ramirez has just hit a home run. Now see, that's what they used to do. They pretended they were there, but all they got was a piece of paper saying Ramirez home run. But see, I was able to do like 4 minutes there of just baloney, of stuff I didn't see, made up, but yet I did not change the essential truth in the story, which was that he hit the ball and there was a home run. So I'm telling you this because what I might do, see, is I might ditch this other person and not even go to this place. And maybe I'll just come into the studio tomorrow and I'll pretend I'm there. See, that takes the worry out of the whole thing. See, I don't even have to go. I can just sit here in the studio, tell you that I'm there, you know, maybe play some music in the background so you think I'm there, and maybe get somebody on the telephone from there and do a whole thing. See? Radio's tricky that way. Theater of the mind. That's what they call it. Theater of the mind. Does anybody remember when baseball used to be done that way? Do you think I could have made it as a baseball announcer back in those days when it was off the teletype machine? 44 minutes past the hour. Give me a ring here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Certainly would love to hear from you this morning. We're talking about travel trips, travel tips. We're talking about maybe travel experiences that you've had that did not go so well. And also going to talk next hour about where this trip is supposed to take place from and what exactly is supposed to happen. But the truth is, probably nothing bad will happen. Probably it will be okay. But the good news is if something bad does happen and it goes badly, at least I'll have that story to tell next week. I'll be able to come back with that story and tell you how awful it was. See, that's the whole point of having a bad travel person. Because then you can come back and really say, oh my goodness, remember Friday when I told you about that person I was going to travel with? Oh my goodness, it was the worst experience of my life, and here's why. See, you can always do that. You get a lot of material out of bad situations. That's why the good and bad are always, you know, yin and yang. It's interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, you were talking about a bad travel experience.
Oh, yes.
Try going down to Florida in a little minivan with about five or six people packed into one van. Oh, my God, that was the worst. I think it had to be the worst trip I ever made.
Now, when you signed up for the trip, did you think, oh, this will be good?
Yeah, that's what I thought, you know. I really did. We get down to Orlando, Florida, which is a beautiful place. to go. And we get down there a day early figuring, you know, hey, we get a good start. Well, so have it. They had a big golf tournament down there. Every place was booked. And when we had to stay at night in a minivan. I mean, the smell was enough to drive you nuts.
Oh, my God. So you had not pre-booked the rooms?
No, we just assumed we'd get down there a day early and get right in there, pay for the early stay, and get right in and get started on a vacation.
You know, why is that any time travel happens, most likely something like that will happen? Are we just cursed in the United States as travel people?
I don't know. But other than that, and it, well, coming back was kind of a nightmare, too, because we run into some bad weather in Tennessee, and we have one of them car carriers on top of the van, and this guy kept on pointing up and up and up, and it was standing up on its end because the wind caught it, and a lot of the belongings went tumbling down the road there.
Oh, see? There's another one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. So when you went to, now you drove both places. When you drove to Florida, how long did it take you to get there?
Oh, my God. It took us, we drove straight through, so it took us about 12 hours. She was a little bit of lead foot anyways on it.
Now, when you went to Tennessee, did you say the other one was Tennessee?
Yeah, we had to go through Tennessee coming back, and we hit all that bad weather, and I mean, wow. We went into the McDonald's there, and they were having a headache because they were thinking a tornado was coming through. The doors blew open. That's how bad the wind was.
You can run into bad weather, too. That's something that can happen. Although, with my particular situation, I will say that I know where I'm going. The weather situation is good, and the weather situation for February here is good right now.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not in that kind of trouble. But now, when you went, because I have relatives, but I've never been to Tennessee. How long did it take to get you back from Tennessee?
That wasn't very long. Your longest stretch is when you go through Georgia. I mean, that's 502 miles just total, you know, flat land there. It took us, I don't know, a couple hours to get through Tennessee to Kentucky. It was just, Georgia was just a long state to go through.
Well, you know what? I've always thought about going to Tennessee, but for some reason I always get conflicting viewpoints on the drive, because one person will say, oh, it's 5 or 6 hours, and then somebody will say, oh, no, it's 8 or 9, and I'm thinking, now, wait a second. You know, it's only 8 hours to New York. How can it be 8 hours to Tennessee?
Well, it's about 5-6 hours there.
That's not awful.
No, it's not bad at all. You know, once you get into Kentucky there, that's when the scenery starts to change, and it's a pleasurable drive. I mean, you know, if you love the mountains and the rock, you know, rocky areas, yeah, it's just some flatland drives that really get you, because you need to see nothing but flatland.
Well, that's why going to New York is, you know, I love Midtown. I've done it, you know, 3 or 4 times now. But the problem is when you get on 80 going through Pennsylvania, it is the most boring stretch. You are on it for like 6 hours. It is nothing. It is no scenery. It's dead trees. It's awful.
Yeah, it's a long state to go through. I've never taken that trip, never been into Pennsylvania, but it's another one of them states that are really long. If you're going that way, it's long, but if you're going the opposite way, it's short.
You know, I thought, you know, all those years going to New York, because I went to New York long before I went to Pittsburgh, and I thought, oh, okay, the worst part of Pennsylvania is being on that 80 for like 6 hours. But going to Pittsburgh, I don't have to do that, because Pittsburgh's only about 3.5 hours away, and it's right on the inside of Pennsylvania. But what Pittsburgh is the city of hills and bridges. And I'm talking steep hills. I have never seen anything like the way they build their houses in Pittsburgh on these steep, steep hills.
I take it you're going there, eh?
Not on this trip, no. That's where I went last time.
Where are you going this time?
Well, I'm going to tell everybody next hour.
I'll be sure to listen.
Yeah, and then maybe I'll get some tips, and I'll also let people know what time we're going to be trying to broadcast live from there.
Well, wherever your travels might take you, have a safe trip.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, that is true. It's when you go to a place you've never been, you are... It's different. The worst part of New York is not New York to me. I didn't mind going into the city. The problem with New York is that I-80 that you're on forever, 6 hours. And New York is about an 8.5 hour trip. So you're in the car for a long time. Washington, D.C., I don't remember the car ride being awful, even though it's like 9 hours. But it's, once you get to Washington, D.C., the streets are awful. That is the most poorly laid out city I've ever seen in my life. And people think New York is the worst. No, New York is a grid system. You can get around New York. It's slow because there's a lot of traffic, but you can get around it because it's a grid system. You know, if you miss your street, you just go down the next one and come back to where you were. D.C. is awful. D.C. is miserable because the streets are all angled and some are one way, and you'll run into a garbage truck or somebody who's parked blocking the street. I mean, that's awful. The D.C. streets are miserable. Now, Chicago, that's a six-hour trip, and I've been there two or three times. Now, the first time I went with somebody who got lost. So that a six-hour trip turned into about a nine-hour trip. But not awful. It was a good trip. And then the second and third time I went, I don't remember it being bad. It was about 6 hours, about like it's supposed to be. And but Chicago is a busy city again. You know, Chicago, I think the busiest cities in the United States are Chicago, New York, and D.C., and maybe some out in California. But I think other than that, there probably are no busier cities than D.C., Manhattan, New York, Midtown, and Chicago. Has anybody else been to cities that are as busy as those are busier? Has anybody had a place they would never want to go back to again? Or has anybody had a place they would love to go back to again because the experience was so good? Send some positive vibes my way. Or do you have a bad travel experience or a good one? Or any tips for me? And remember, next hour I'm going to tell you where I'm going and who I'm going with, so you'll know who the co-host is, and when we're going to try to do these live broadcasts. So, give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Today, travel is the topic here on the Now program. And my list is made of things I need to do. And, you know, right now I'm thinking, because I've got the suitcase in the car, I'm thinking, okay, do I have everything I need? Did I pack all the essentials? I think I did, but again, you never know. It's one of those paranoias. Have you ever been on a trip and forgot something that was absolutely necessary, that you absolutely needed, and you what do? You know, once you leave, you're out of luck. I remember going to Toronto, and for some reason, I cannot remember how long it took to get to Toronto, but I know that that was a long trip, 8 or 9 hours. But the traffic, I don't remember the traffic being awful, but I remember going to Toronto, and I remember that it was cold. That was one of the big issues with Toronto, because I think I went in December. So there was a lot of snow blowing around and that sort of thing, and it was very bitterly cold. And, of course, the further north you go, the more bitter cold it gets. And I remember going to Toronto, and the biggest problem there was the money exchange. Once you get into Canada, you got to exchange your money. And I remember nobody had eaten on the trip there, and everybody was kind of hungry. So we got checked into this hotel, and a lot of us went on that trip. I think five people went on that trip. So we left three of them back at the hotel. We dropped them off, and we said, okay, well, there was a McDonald's up the road. We'll just run down there and get something to eat real quick, because we were in a hurry. And we'll run down to McDonald's, get something to eat, and then we'll come back here and eat and then figure out what we're doing tonight. And I remember going down to McDonald's, and you get to McDonald's in Canada. Now, the food is all the same. You know, it's Big Macs and hamburgers and all that sort of thing. But you walk up there, and I had not exchanged my money yet because there really was no place to do. I had not been to an exchange. What do they call those places where you exchange your money? They're called something. But I had not been to one of those yet. So I go into this McDonald's. It was in a mall. I remember that. The mall was right across the street. So I go into this mall where this McDonald's is, and I remember I walked up and I ordered a hamburger, you know, the regular hamburgers, not the Big Mac or anything like that. I ordered a hamburger, some French fries, and a drink. And the guy said, that'll be $72. And I thought, whoa, inflation here in Canada. But no, it's the exchange rate. He's talking Canadian money, and I'm talking American money. So then you have to figure out, because in Canada they will take American money, but it's weird. Some places will take American money, some places won't. And you have to know what the exchange rate is, or they will really take advantage of you. And I don't even know that they're trying to take advantage of you, because it's probably like high school kids working at McDonald's, and they don't know what the exchange rate is on American money, especially way up in Toronto, because you've got to go quite a ways up into Canada to get to Toronto. Toronto's a very clean city. You know, that's the weird... What do I remember about Toronto? And the trip to Toronto, that's been a while ago. That's probably been 18 years or something. But the trip to Toronto, you know, you always remember one thing. And you know what I remember about Toronto? I remember it was clean. I remember it was just a very clean city. There was no trash anywhere. You know, everywhere you went in these downtown metropolitan areas, because Toronto's a big city, there was no trash. You didn't see anything in the street. You didn't see anything piled up on the sidewalks. There was no trash. You know, you go to New York, unfortunately, there's trash in a lot of places. Chicago's a little cleaner, but, you know, there's trash in places in Chicago. And not that that's awful. I mean, you got to do something with your trash. But for some reason, Toronto stays very clean. It's just a very clean, clandestine city. And I don't know why that is. But that's what I remember about Toronto. Well, I tell you what, we're going to break, and I'm going to come back, tell you where I'm going, tell you who I'm going with, and tell you when you can try to listen in for these live broadcasts this weekend, which should be a lot of fun. Remember Charlie Evers, 10 until noon today. You don't want to miss that. He's got great giveaways. Back in just a few minutes.
Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 till 12 today, and welcome your phone calls today. I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
What you who were listening today, your time and energy in this radio station.